Hi, welcome to New Hope Community Church Online. The sermon you are about to hear was originally given by Pastor Chuck Wilson. New Hope Community Church, to know, to live, and to share Jesus Christ.
The title for what I want to talk about today is Living the Ultimate Life. And it's in Romans chapter 6. We're going to pick it up in verse 8 because if you missed last week, get the CDs or listen to the podcast. We talked about the first 7 verses of Romans 6. We talked about being dead to sin, being dead to our old life and the garbage and the old destructive habits in our life and finding forgiveness and being forgiven. And then we talked about knowing something in chapter 6, verse 6, we said, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." And we talked about, do we know that? And part of knowing that is we actually had a communion service last week. And we had a cross up front, and people could come, and we would write down things that we wanted nailed to the cross, things that we asked God to forgive us, or things we're struggling with, or crises in our life, and we nailed them to the cross. And I assured you that they would be burned because Ed Bennett volunteered to burn them, and he has this pyro. He has this gift of pyromania. I said that's his spiritual gift, and He sent me this yesterday. He just wanted to assure me that whatever you put on that cross was burned. And that's a little scary, though, isn't it? Ginny, are you a little afraid at night sometimes? You know, when you hear him with getting matches out or something. So okay, you can take that. So whatever you nailed on the cross is now gone. It's between you and God. Don't worry about that. But we just talked about how that's we can be forgiven by asking Christ to forgive us of our sins and how they're gone. And then back, we looked at also verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5, which is even more powerful. It says this: "If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." We actually share. It's great that Jesus died for our sins and that we find forgiveness, but him coming back alive, he didn't have to be resurrected. He chose to be resurrected to show us that he has the power over sin, the power over death. And the best part is that it says here we're reunited with him in his resurrection. We are given that same power in our life that we can live a brand new life. We can live the ultimate life. Everyone here was created to live an awesome life by Jesus Christ. But because of our disobedience, because of our rebellion, because of our sin, we've all been there. We could all tell lots of stories, right? We've messed it up. But by coming to Christ and coming to the cross and asking for forgiveness and putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we are given a second chance at living a brand new life in Jesus Christ. And that's what the power of the resurrection is all about. Before I read these verses, let me just pray. Father, we thank you for the worship today. We thank you for the drama that showed us visibly what Easter, the resurrection, is all about. And Father, we thank you for each of us that are here. We know we're all here for a special purpose. We're here this morning and we're here on this earth for a special purpose. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us, helping us understand why we're here and what you want to do, the beautiful things that you want to do in and through our lives. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me start with verse 8. It says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." So I just want to start with verses 8 to 10 again here. It says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin, he died once for all, but the life he lives to God." What he's bringing out, what the Apostle Paul was bringing out here, is that because of the resurrection, we know that we can live a brand new life. And it's because of the resurrection. Because we know Jesus said, "I'm going to come back from the dead." And then he did it to prove he was the Son of God. That's what is proof to us that we can live a brand new life. Sometimes we get discouraged, don't we? We are living a rough life, and we're even after we put our faith in Christ, when we're trying to live the Christian life, we struggle. What keeps giving us hope is knowing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that we are given that same power in our life, that same promise of power. And that's what is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what sets Jesus Christ and the Christianity off from every other religion out there. Someone once sent me a Christmas card. I never forgot it. It said, what's the difference between Christmas and Buddha myths and Confucius myths and Muhammad myths? And I went through all the whole list. And I opened up the card and it says, Easter. That's the difference. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that ever brought himself back from the dead by the power of God and his own power, his own strength, predicted it 3 days, hopeless time. He proved he was the Son of God, proved that our sins were forgiven. He proved it by the resurrection. And do you want proof? Do we want proof that we can live a brand new life through Jesus Christ? It's the resurrection. That's the proof. Now we know that, but how do we realize that power in our life? Some of us might be struggling, like all of us. You don't raise your hand, but all of us, right? Paul gives us two keys here. The Holy Spirit gives us two keys to living the resurrection power in our life. Let's look at verse 11. The first key is here. It says, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The first key is to living this is to count ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. The word count means to reckon. Some of your Bible verses, some of your versions might say reckon yourself. Some versions say count yourself. It's the same thing. It means to consider something as so, to consider something as a fact, to believe it by faith. To believe something that we know, but to really believe it, that's what it means to reckon or count it so. The first step to living the ultimate life that God wants us all to live is faith, believing and faith. That's the key, to have faith. First of all, we have to start off with what the Bible calls saving faith. Saving faith. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The believing in him, putting our faith in him, there's a saving faith that's a starting point. Everybody has some kind of a faith, and a lot of people know about Christ, but there has to be that time in our life where we put our faith, we're saved by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Every one of us has to come to that cross at some point and say, God, I believe Jesus Christ died for me. Your son died for my sin. Your son died for all the mistakes I made. He died for all my rebellion. He died for me so that I could come into your presence without the guilt of all that. I can now I ask for forgiveness from you because I know the sin has been paid for and it's been washed away through Jesus Christ. I put my faith in him. I repent of that old life and I follow Jesus Christ. I give my life to Jesus. That's the starting point to a relationship with Jesus, with God, is putting our faith in his son, Jesus Christ. That's the starting point. But it doesn't stop there. A lot of times we put our faith in Christ. You know, we hear Billy Graham on TV or we say a prayer and we put our faith in Christ. But that's not the end of faith. That's saving faith, but we're also called to live by faith. Not just to be saved by faith, but it also says, the Bible says we're to live by faith. And last week we talked a little bit about Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. We're not only saved by faith, but we're called to live by faith. It's daily living by faith. Now let me connect the dots, because sometimes it's confusing. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we start living this brand new life, okay? But now we have to live by faith. And so you're a Christian now, maybe you're a brand new Christian, and you're tempted to go back to some of the old destructive sins. The Bible calls them sins, destructive habits, destructive lifestyle, behavior, the things that were separating us from God in the first place, the things that was alienating us from our family and our friends, the sin, the things that were hurting us spiritually, hurting us emotionally, hurting us physically. We're tempted to go back to that garbage, right? But living by faith means saying, no, I'm tempted. We're going to be tempted to the day we die. I'm tempted, but God, I believe you forgive me for that. And I believe that you can help me not go back to that life. And I'm trusting you. I'm putting my faith in you to help me resist that. I don't have to give in to that anymore. I don't have to follow the feelings anymore. I can follow my faith. You see, our feelings have all been warped by a lot of garbage in our life, a lot of sin, a lot of bad decisions warp our feelings. And when you first become a Christian, it's a great feeling, but there's a lot of messed up emotions. And it takes time for those emotions to be renewed. It takes a long time. And it takes a lot of obedience, and it takes a lot of trusting in God. And in time, they get in line. But it's very important that we follow our faith, not our feelings. Very, very important. Or we feel accused. Let's say we're a Christian now, and we're trying to live the Christian life, but maybe we mess up, and maybe we have an overactive conscience, or maybe the enemy, you saw the guy in the drama, that's all for real, the enemy is accusing us, you're not a Christian. But no, by faith we say, you know what, I believe Jesus forgave me. And if I mess up, I go right to him and ask for forgiveness right away. That's we go right to him and ask for his mercy and grace, because that's living by faith. The old life has no more power over us anymore. No more power. I grew up on a farm. A lot of you know I grew up on a farm. And I remember driving down the lane. And every spring, right about this time, my dad would put the disc on the back of the tractor. He'd drive down the lane and disc up the lane and make it nice and smooth, really. You just kind of disc it up and make it smooth. And then we would start using that lane again. And it would rain. It's spring. And there'd still be snow this time of year where I grew up, Buffalo. And we'd be driving down. And you start driving down the lane. And you kind of got in a rut. We start creating a rut in that lane. And pretty soon it got deeper and deeper. And it would rain. And the water would kind of, you know, flow down the ruts. And next time, pretty soon it got so that when you drove down that lane, you only could drive in one place. Because whatever you try to do, sooner or later, you're going to slide down into those ruts. And pretty soon you're in the rut. And when it rained, it would get real wet. You get bogged down and stuck in those ruts. And that's a lot what our life is like, isn't it? We have a lot of ruts in our life. Things that, bad habits, destructive habits, habits that separate us from God, a lot of that garbage in our life, and we get driving in our life and we get stuck in those ruts. But see, what living by faith does is it gives us ability, first of all, when we become a Christian, Christ discs over our life, gives us a brand new start, but we still have a tendency to form those ruts, go back to those old ruts. But living by faith and what the Christian life is all about is saying, you know what? I'm in a rut again, but I have the power now to get out of that rut. I may be stuck in it today, but I don't have to be stuck in it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I can, by the Holy Spirit's power, he's got a big tractor, right? The Holy Spirit's power, he can pull us out of that rut. And if we find ourselves sliding in, we don't have to slide in and get stuck and bogged down again. No, I feel myself sliding there again, but God, help me. Help me not to fall into that again. And little by little, and this takes a lot of time. Think about it. Maybe you became a Christian when you're 30 years old. You had 30 years of ruts forming, right? Emotional damage, spiritual damage. It takes time. It takes a lot of time to renew that. But it's really important that we believe, because if we believe and we keep following Christ, in time our emotions and the temptations, and we form brand new ruts, but they're following God at that point. Godly habits. Living by grace. And so we know this, we believe it, but we have to act on it. Verse 13 talks about how important it is to act on it. Now keep in mind, I'm assuming God's grace. We can't do it in our own power. I'm assuming the Holy Spirit's help. We can't do it without his help. But look at verse 13, says what we have to do. It says, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. We must not just know something, but we have to put our faith, and then we have to obey. We have to act by that faith, no matter how we feel. Guys, listen, in time, those feelings are going to get in line, but it's going to take time. When we form that new rut, it's important that we offer the parts of our body to God for righteousness. Our mind, our heart, our complete body, we by faith live for Jesus Christ once we put our faith in Christ. I'll use food as an example. You saw that in the drama there. Food. A lot of us get into real bad habits with food, right? Like all of us, right? You know, we grow up, we go to McDonald's, and we eat a lot of Easter candy. I'm still going to eat a lot today. One bad day. But you know, we love candy and we love to eat McDonald's. We eat unhealthy. But then the doctor says, okay, here's your Zocor and your cholesterol medicine or your, you know, whatever, Lipitor. Or, you know, you get the idea. Here's your high blood pressure medicine and you need to start eating right. And we know we need to do it. And so, but it's hard because we have all these good feelings associated with things that aren't really healthy for us. All right? Nothing wrong with eating McDonald's once in a while. But it's the, you know, you know what I'm talking about. It's the unhealthy lifestyle, right? And so we're given rabbit food to eat, you know, and we're like, I don't like this, you know, I don't like green things, salads, or I want ice cream, you know, and you get the idea. We don't get a good warm feeling from rabbit food. We want, you know, the Big Mac, or, you know, you get the point. But what happens is when we pray about it, we wrestle with it, we start to eat the right way, a funny thing happens. When we start to eat the right way, all of a sudden, we find ourselves later enjoying the food that's actually healthy for us. And when we eat too much of the unhealthy stuff, it actually kind of, did I really used to eat that stuff? Sometimes I'll go with the kids and I'll take them somewhere and I'll try what they're eating because it's fun for them still. and I'll eat, I'm like, ugh, did I really think that was good when I was their age? You know, because what's changed is my emotional attachment to that food, and also I had a change happen. I'm not perfect. I still eat a lot of fun. I call it fun food. I still eat a lot of fun. But the point is, that's what happens. Same thing happens in our life with sexual temptation. It's a big thing in our society. You can't turn on the TV without seeing sex and hearing about sex. And, you know, it's everywhere, right? But what happens in our society, because we've gotten so far away from God's word and how it says to live, saving it for marriage, and living pure until we get married, and then finding that one right person and marrying them, and that's where sexual expression is meant to find its total fulfillment. We've bought a whole different lie in our society. So most of us come into here and into marriage, into relationships with a lot of damage, don't we? A lot of damage. And it takes time. We're a brand new Christian, but we still have all this temptation in our life now. We have all this sexual damage, a lot of scars. But if we'll commit ourselves to God's word and say, God, I'll commit myself. I'm going to wait until I'm married to take advantage of my sexuality. I'm not going to feed the lust anymore. I'm going to put a block on the computer or block on the TV channels. I'm not going to feed it anymore. I'm going to give myself to that one person that you've called me to marry. When we do that, there's a transformation. But it's not overnight. It takes a lot of battling. It takes a lot of offering ourselves to God as instruments of righteousness and fighting the temptation, the mind, and all that other. And same thing goes with the mind. A lot of us become a Christian, we put our faith in Christ, but our minds have had years of spiritual damage, you know, brain damage, really. We have these anxiety in our life. We have so much anxiety because of all the damage in our life. Or we have a lot of anger or a lot of bitterness. And only Christ can help us to forgive and let go of this stuff. There's a good book, I just thought of it back on the table, called Victory Over Darkness, talking about the mind, a battle for the mind and renewing the mind through Jesus Christ. But it takes time. Romans 12, 1-2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It takes time for our minds to be transformed and be renewed. But as we keep knowing, as we get to know God and his word, and as we keep believing it and we keep acting on it, there's a transformation that happens. I just want to ask this question as we get ready to go to prayer and close up with some worship. Are you in a rut today? Maybe you're a Christian, you put your faith in Christ, but you're in some kind of a rut today. Or maybe you're here and you have never put your faith in Christ. Do you want to live the ultimate life that God has created you to live? Maybe you're saying you can't live that life because you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. But today's the day that you can, by faith, this morning, this Easter morning, this Resurrection Sunday, this day you can put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can set us free. The only way. Brian and Patty just got back from the Philippines, and I was just reading the news yesterday about what's been going on in the Philippines. The title is Filipinos Nailed to the Cross. And Good Friday writes, did you follow this in the news? I'll read a little bit of it. It says, Filipino devotees had nailed themselves to crosses Friday to remember Jesus Christ's suffering and death. At least 23 people in this one province were nailed to crosses. The event on Friday drew more than 10,000 Philippine and foreign spectators. Devotees dressed in robes and crowns, we had it up here fake, it wasn't real, right? They're doing it for real, walked in a dusty mound carrying wooden crosses on their backs. At the mound, men nailed their hands and feet to the crosses. And this was their way of paying for their sins. Listen, we don't have to do that. That's wasted pain because Jesus Christ already took that pain on himself. We just have to put our faith in him and give our life to him. If we want to live the ultimate life he's promised, we just have to put our faith in him. And for the rest of us, we put our faith in Christ. Are we living the ultimate life? Are we living by faith? Once again, I'll read. Listen to what a few people here. This is not living by faith. Listen to what a few of them are saying. Among the devotees was a guy named Ruben. He's a 49-year-old sign painter. He was nailed to the cross for the 24th time as his way of thanking God for his survival after falling from a building. Mary Jane, a 34-year-old rice vendor, was a lone female devotee, was nailed to the cross. It was her 14th time. She said it started when she was 18 and had taken part in the rites to seek God's help in saving her ill grandmother. And now her younger sister is suffering from cancer. I do it because I see that it works. I saw how my grandmother recovered from her illness. Here's another one. Another person said she has faith that God will take care of her and her family. Similar rites were... Another province, they had people walking the streets, whipping their bloody backs with whips, wood dangling from ropes as a way to atone for their sins. That's not living by faith. We don't have to do that. We don't have to try to do it in our own flesh anymore or pay for it ourselves. If we want to live that ultimate life, we just have to daily come to Christ who already took that pain on himself, daily asking him, giving us the grace. Are we living that ultimate life?